Happy Sabbath, everybody. You know, through all my sins and struggles in life, I've sometimes wondered, how could God love somebody like me? You know, but when I look to Jesus on the cross, that's all I can see is love. And that's what inspired this song. Now I look to the cross when I feel like I can't hold on. I look to the cross where He died to save us. How much I'm loved.
Thank you, Chuck. Well, I want to thank you all for your prayers over the last week or so. I don't know if you remember when Stephanie and I first spoke up here, but a lot has happened since then. And I tell you what, knowing that God is leading, knowing that God has made his call, that he has shown the way, makes all the difference in the world when you face the different stuff that happens in life. And the different stuff that happens in life only serves to feed my conviction that God has great things that he's up to here. Do you believe that? I hate to personalize things too much and make them about me or anything like that because I really don't believe they are about me. But just from what I've seen, I believe that there is a power that does not want us working together, a power that does not want us to realize the dreams that God has for us in this community. And I believe that he tries his very hardest to discourage us, to thwart us, to frustrate us. But I also believe with all my heart, he does not know what he's doing. Because when I read Romans 8:28, it tells me that everything that he does is simply raw material for God to work out his plans. And sometimes I like to imagine his evil face when he comes up with some good ones and God just turns them on their heads. So I don't know how God's turning all this on its head. As you know, many of you have been in the ER a couple of times since we last saw each other and been worked up for working on figuring out some things that are going on. And on top of that, I got from my little girl the flu, and so we've got symptoms mixing with symptoms and sorting it all out. And thank the Lord, he's just been providing through family and others, friends, insights, and medical help and everything like that. So that's all being worked on. Enough about me. Today is a great day in the history of the English Oaks Church that I'd like you to celebrate with me. We have a new family here at our church. The Hager family has come to be part of the English Oaks family. Roy and Susan and can Jessica come along too and meet the family? We would like to welcome Roy and Susan and Jessica to the English Oaks family. Roy is our new associate pastor, and he's actually been serving this week, but this is his first Sabbath here with us, and we just want to welcome you and thank God for you.
Oh, look at that.
Let me get a microphone. We got to interview this man and woman. Got the red one here. Do I have to turn on a power switch? Nope, looks all lit up. The Hager family comes to us from Placerville, California. Tell me, how long were you there at Placerville?
Susan and I landed there in 1994. Let's see, that would be 19 years.
19 years?
Yes.
Wow, what a run. And what was your role there?
Associate pastor. Well, I started there as Youth Plus. And it's not very often that you have a senior youth that is just a senior youth only. It's rare. So I did a multiple number of things, but focused on the youth. We started an adventure club and a Pathfinder club and senior high youth and young adults and so forth. And as the years went by and I got a little bit older, we kind of passed that baton on to interns that we had come in that were just out of college, and they're young and unattached, and they can do all kinds of stuff with the youth, and we just kind of watch them.
Well, that's all very interesting. That's professional stuff, though. Isn't family stuff more interesting? But, you know, Please don't take me wrong on that. But where are you guys from? How'd you meet? Tell us about your family.
Well, Susan and I are from the Northwest, and, well, all over the West Coast, California, Southern California, starting out when we were both young, and then ended up, Susan was in Eugene, and I was in Salem, and of all places, John, we met at Big Lake Youth Camp, and that's where the kind of the romance started and continued on at Walla Walla.
I've heard of that happening
College.
At Big Lake Youth Camp.
Yeah,
you're Big probably Lake, not the only ones.
Big Lake's good for that. And God's good. As you were saying, God just is so sovereign in our lives, and he directs, and she is an answer to my life. And I'm continually amazed after 34 years together.
Wow. He got it. Good.
It's been so long. So we both went to Walla Walla College, then Andrews University, came back to the Northwest, to Spokane Valley for 4 years. Cheney, Washington, anybody? Great little church in Cheney, Washington. That would be west of Spokane for another 4 years, and then landed at PUC in 1988. We're there 6 years. We're served with the Rosses there at the elementary school. I was youth pastor there. And Lana, our great secretary, was a youth of mine back then, and I'm so glad that she's here, and I can serve her now.
Fantastic.
So then Placerville, 1994, and that's a great church to be part of. The roots went really deep. And one thing that I've been thinking about is that when you're a part of this church family, this Adventist church family, it is family. It is family, no matter where you go. And I don't care if it's an hour and a half away or a world away. When you're with this family, you are with family, and that is so,
that's right,
so amazingly rich, so amazingly warm and embracing and connecting and all about family, and it's a gift that God gives us.
Well, we want to thank you for coming to be part of our family, and as we begin together, I wish we had the whole team here, but Scott's off making presentations and doing the ministry that he's called to. So we're going to gather the team that we have here, and let's have a prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called Roy and Susan and Jessica to be here with us. We ask that you would bless our teamwork together, amen, not just as a pastoral staff, Father, with Scott and us, but Father, as a whole church family, because we are all the family, we are all the staff, we are all the workers in this church that you have called to bless this community and to help each other to heaven. Right. Oh, Father, we need your spirit, and we ask your anointing upon us. We ask your leadership, your guidance, and we ask for your love to be at the center of it all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to thank you, church family, for lifting us up. Susan's mom had a little episode a couple weeks ago, and they are here today, and they're sitting right over there.
Praise God.
Everett and Virginia Perry. And Everett was principal in our church for Central California Conference for a number of years and served that way. And Susan's brother, John, is here also helping them in transition. So thank you for lifting us up in prayer, too.
Fantastic. For the luncheon today, we are going to celebrate the arrival of the Hagers, so you'll have the chance to meet them personally and talk with them and get better acquainted, and, of course, over the coming months and years until Jesus comes.
And I want to mention we have two boys also. Jonathan and Jason are at Walla Walla College, freshman and junior. So thank you. I just wanted to introduce them to
Can't
you as well.
All right, and here's our church directory
can't
in case.
Have, can't have too many.
Here's a
those.
Welcome card, and here's our welcome card. We hope that you'll be coming again.
Should I transfer my membership, or
Yes, you should.
Or you want to just do it now by profession of faith?
We'll go through the proper channels.
Okay.
Thank you very much. God be with us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you that you have promised that everything that we need, you provide. And so we ask for your Spirit to be poured out on us today. Touch our hearts in the way that you need in order to make us what you need in your kingdom, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody been paying attention to the Winter Olympics? Show of hands. Anybody? All right. Okay, good. There's a lot of different options for watching them now online, on the television, on your little phone, all kinds of ways to do it. One of the things that I've always enjoyed in the Winter Olympics is the speed skating, short track especially. The long track is interesting, you know, the way they move themselves along swinging their arms. But the short track is where it really gets in the fray, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? This is the one where it's just a small loop and the lead changes all the time and they're jostling and they're shuffling and they're just, well, it's not roller derby because they have officials to make sure that it's not that, but it's everything but roller derby in that contention to be the first one to make it across the line. Now, as I was watching the last Olympics, unfortunately, from our team's standpoint, in speed skating, this Olympics basically has not happened. So we'll just kind of consider that this Olympics has not happened in terms of the U.S. speed skating team. But the last Winter Olympics in 2010, something caught my attention as I was following the action in the speed skating. And the first place it cropped up was actually, I think, it was either the 1,000 meter or the 10,000 meter, but with someone I hadn't heard of before named Shawnee Davis. Now, at this Olympics, Shawnee Davis, unfortunately, didn't come through the way he had hoped. But last Olympics, he did quite well. And along the way, not on one of his winning ones, but on one of the ones where he didn't come in first, he made an amazing quote that just captured my heart and caught my attention and made me think. Now, you remember, he did not come in first on this particular race, and he said this: "I was trying to go out there and leave it all on the track, and I was able to." Think about that. I was trying to go out there and leave it all on the track, and I was able to. So notice that phrase, all on the track. He was saying, you know, and of course this is one of the things that competitors have to accept when they go out there and put themselves all out to win the prize, is that there are others who are trying just as hard, who have trained just as hard, who are in the ballpark just as capable, and you can do that and not come in first. And he was saying, when the reporters were expecting him to be completely disappointed, that he did have satisfaction because he put it all on the track. Later, as I was paying attention, you've all heard of Apollo Anton Ono, and he did quite well on the last Olympics and the Olympics before that as well. He's not involved in this one except as a sportscaster. But he was talking not again about one of the ones where he won. He was talking about one of the ones where he didn't come in first. And he said, "I have no regrets, though. I left it all on the ice." Is here that same theme? All on the track. In this case, he says, "I left it all on the ice." What does that mean? All on the ice. You ponder that? You think about that? What does that mean? I left it all on the ice. What that means, and I think you understand it just as he said it, what that means is that he gave it everything he had. And both he and Shawnee Davis, even though they did not win those particular competitions, had the satisfaction of knowing that it wasn't because they held back. It wasn't because they had slacked off in some way. It wasn't because they had set a line and said, that's as hard as I'm going to try, and that's all. They were able to say, I left it all on the track. I left it all on the ice. I gave it everything I had, everything in training, in practice, in effort, in nutritional control, in preparation, in mental toughness. I gave it everything that I had. And there are the results. One of my favorite people in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. I think the Apostle Paul was an all-on-the-ice kind of guy. Do you get that idea? He was someone who knew how to put it all in. When you ask, who do you look forward to meeting in heaven? After Jesus, it's probably the Apostle Paul. You know, you get acquainted with someone by their words and by the stories about them in a book, and you just wonder, what's that like in 3D? You know, what's that like in person? What is this person, excuse me, excuse me, that's probably going to happen again. Hopefully it won't scare you too much or anything. But anyway, so I love the idea of looking forward to meeting the Apostle Paul. And he made the same call on you and I. Do you know that? When we look at the Olympic athletes, we're used to thinking of exceptions. These people are exceptional. These people are on a different plane. These people are on a different level. When we look at the Bible and the characters of the Bible, people like the Apostle Paul, we're used to thinking also kind of the same way. These are the Olympians of godly history, aren't they? They're exceptional. They're so different, incomparable to us. But Paul applies the way that he himself lived as a call to you and me. In this case, he was talking specifically to the believers in Philippians. By the way, the same ones that wonderful promise that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He wrote that to them as well. If you want to turn, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And look what Paul says. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Boy, how many people who make a difference in life, in the kingdom of God, can say that. One thing I do. What does that mean? They're focused. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's focus, isn't it? Does that sound like all on the ice? Does that sound like someone who's partway in, someone who's dabbling, someone who's considering if this thing will work out for them? Not on your life. This is someone, all right, more. Thank you, I'll take more. I have water bottles all the time when I speak, and I hardly ever use them when I speak, but afterwards, you bet. So, this is not someone who's dabbling, is it? This is not someone whose faith is a hobby. This is not someone whose calling is an avocation. This is the one thing he does, forgetting those things which are behind and straining towards those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And you might say, yeah, see, he's saying that for himself. He's the Olympic apostle. He's the exceptional one. It's interesting to look at. It's actually inspiring and wonderful to think of Paul and the way he lived his life. But is that really for all of us? Let's look at it a little bit closer. First of all, he says, forgetting what is behind. Why would you want to do that? Forgetting what is behind. We have a statement, don't we? We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we forget how the Lord has led us in the past. You've read that, haven't you? So surely he doesn't mean forgetting how the Lord has led us in the past. What does he mean, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead? Well, think about yourself. If you're in a race, focusing on that finish line, focusing on that tape, on the line in the ice, whatever you might be looking at, the line down the slope, if it's downhill skiing that has your fancy. In the race, does it help you to be thinking about past victories and feeling all good and smug and saying, I've done good? Is that going to get you across the finish line in record time? Is it? Boy, one of the amazing moments in Olympic history was at a Summer Olympics. I forget which year, but the runner was Michael Johnson. Anybody remember Michael Johnson, the runner? I remember watching this. He was a sprinter, and he took off from the starting line like a rocket, like everybody expected him to. And he ran with all he had. And I forget if he was in the lead at the time, but I think he was. And as he rounded the turn, he stumbled. Anyone remember this? Olympic sprinter, giving it all he had, and he stumbled. He had the ability not only to not be focused on his past victories and smug about that, but he also had the ability to not even focus on his immediate past stumble. Because Michael Johnson went on to not only win that race, but to set an Olympic record. I forget, it may have been a world record as well, but it was certainly an Olympic record in that sprint. He stumbled, and he immediately left that stumble behind. Forgetting what is behind. If you hang on to the past, not just remember the past, but if you hang on to the past victories and past failures, your attention is pulled where? Back. You're not all on the ice. You're thinking about other things than what you're doing and where you're going. And Paul says that's not how he ran the race. Forgetting what is behind, forgetting the laurels of the past and forgetting the failures of the past. And then he goes to the other part and straining toward what is ahead. That's how you win a race, isn't it? Straining towards what is ahead, leaving the past in the past. And then it's almost as if every muscular fiber, every mental neuron is pulling towards that finish line. Every part of the body focused on how to get there fast and first. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. He's talking about all on the ice. He's talking about everything in. He's talking about nothing held back, going for it with everything that he had. And then look what he says in verse 15. This is where he He says to you and I, this is Paul talking, he says, I am not the exception. I am the rule. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. What's the view? Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus heavenward. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. That seems a little strange, doesn't it? How do we usually find mature? Don't we usually define maturity along the lines of having a certain reserve and of not just going over the edge about things, but being able to measure and to parse out and dose out the right amount of focus, the right amount of effort, all of these kinds of things? And yet Paul is saying, in the kingdom of Jesus, it's different. When you are mature, you go for it with everything. You go for it with absolutely everything. I'm going to divert. I'm not going to have this on the screen. There's a little insight that you can gain over in Colossians. And he talks about racing in Colossians. And he talks about what people do for a silly laurel, dare I say, for a silly medal. And he talks about temperance. It's interesting. Pardon me, I did not write this down. Like I said, I didn't mean to go here. But I feel it's important to go here. Where is that one? Well, I'll start talking about it. This is the one where he says that when we are in the race, we should run to win the race, because not everyone who enters a race wins. And in this case, he says the way you win the race is to be temperate. Doesn't that sound like the opposite of what he's saying here? If you come up with the verse for me, feel free to holler it out, because I'm not very good at finding scriptures when I'm in the middle of a sermon. But, yeah, like I said, Colossians or 1 Corinthians 9:24. Thank you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Hey, you seeing that? So we're parallel here. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Here he says, the way to obtain it is forgetting those things which are behind and straining towards what is ahead. And he says, verse 25, by the way, who was that? That was very good. Who? That was Jerry. Thank you. That's our head elder. That's our head elder. Thank you very much. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. How does that rectify with forgetting what is behind and straining, that everything, just going for it with everything? Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. What's the intersection between these two passages? The forgetting what is behind, straining towards the head, and being temperate in all things. I'm starting to think that Paul is talking not so much about a sprint, is he? I'm starting to think that Paul is talking about a long-distance run. Because you run long distance runs different than you run sprints, don't you? In fact, structurally, long distance runners are different than sprinters, right? The kinds of exercises and preparations that they do actually change the proportions of the types of muscle fibers that they have in their muscles. The long-term hanging in, keep on going muscle fibers versus the instant power and go, go, go until it's gone muscle fibers. But in both cases, whether a long-distance runner or a sprinter, they give it all. Same thing on the ice. Those long-distance speed skate loop around 10,000 meters. Compared with the short track sprinters, they put it all on the ice. The long-distance ones, measure it out. Measure it out so that at the end of the race, they can say, like Shawnee Davis, the long distance speed skater, I left it all on the track. I gave it everything. I gave it everything. This is what Paul is calling us to. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, to give it everything that we have for Jesus, to give it everything that we have for the passion of Jesus' heart, which is his kingdom, his family. What is Jesus' goal with regard to his kingdom and his family? Well, he said it to his disciples. You might remember right after he told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The passion of Jesus' heart. As you look around this room, at your fellow believers here, and if you get a directory and look through the names of people that you haven't seen for some time, the passion of Jesus' heart for you and every one of the others is that we would be with him forever. You know that? That's the passion of his heart. That's what drives him. That's what stirs him. That's what he wants. He wants to be with you forever. And he wants to be with everyone else in the family. So as we are here in this, however long distance haul it is, I don't think it's a sprint, however long distance this haul is, we are here on the same dream that drives our Jesus. We want to be with him. We want to receive the prize. But also, part of the prize is that our brothers and our sisters will be with us so that we can all be with him. This is what we're after. And not only that, Jesus' love, Jesus' passion is not simply for the family that's already here. Jesus' love and Jesus' passion is for the family that he's trying to call in. So we don't just look at the pews around us, and we don't just look at our lists of people who have been with us, but we look at every last person that we encounter in this community around us. And now in the increasingly complex webs of our world via internet, Facebook, etc., the people that somehow our lives are connected to, the highest purpose for which God has allowed those connections is that we can be agents to bring people into the family and then to help each other stay faithful to Jesus all of the way and run that race with patience until we cross the finish line, giving all of ourselves. Jesus said in so many ways, you got to put it all on the ice. Whoever would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's Jesus saying, put it all on the ice. Do you remember the rich young ruler who came to him? We discussed him about a month ago. He said, sell everything that you have to that young man. Give it to the poor and come, follow me. He was saying, put it on the all on the ice. He said, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He's saying, put it all on the ice. He's saying, make your connection with Jesus and your place in his family and his dream for how to bring as many people into his family to be with him forever as possible. Make that the consuming passion of your life, the consuming pursuit of your life, to know him, to serve him, to let him make you the person that he created to be, drawing people to him through the power of his love working in you. Look at the great commandment. Love the Lord your God at least as much as you love other stuff. Is that what it says? Love the Lord your God such that you at least spend a certain amount of time focusing on him per week or whatever. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Everything that you got. Put it all on the ice. Don't hold anything back. It's the only way to experience all that God has designed for you. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And he goes on to say, and if on some point you think differently, I don't know exactly what he means by that. If you somehow think you should hold back, but if you really want to follow him, he says that too God will make clear to you. That might be a good way to end an argument. You can use that anytime, right? You're discussing something passionately, trying to persuade some of something, and you realize, you come to a point, and you say, and if you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Excuse me, I'm trying to shield this microphone from my explosions. And so today, as we gather here together as the people of God, I urge you to put it all on the ice. You might say, I don't have that kind of focus, I don't have that kind of attention, I don't have what it takes. Or you might say, everything that I could put on the ice isn't even enough. There's no way. Well, the good news that I have for you today is that it only depends on you insofar as it comes to making the choice. That's the only thing that depends on you. I love the promise in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Does it depend on you, your power, your strength, your abilities? Do you have to take an inventory and say, let me see if I have what it takes? The only aspect of taking an inventory to see if you have what it takes is if you are willing to say yes to Jesus. That is the only thing. Jesus is able to take care of your record, if that worries you, your record of the past. And Jesus is able and willing to provide everything for the future so that you can fulfill the purpose that he has for you. And so when we're talking about putting it on all on the ice, is not even your stuff anyway. It's His stuff. He provides. It's amazing. You know, there was a revolution in manufacturing took place years ago when they started to streamline things. And instead of stockpiling all of the parts that they needed for the whole manufacturing process and warehousing them, they would have them arrive as they were needed. That streamlined the process. And that's the way it is with Jesus. Everything that you need arrives as it's needed. He doesn't guarantee that it'll arrive ahead of time, but He guarantees that if you make your choice to go with Him, to do what He calls you to do, whether it's walking on water or whether it's you've been crippled for 38 years and it's walking in the first place, as you need it, He provides it, so say yes. Throw it all in as if you have nothing to lose because you have everything to gain. Will you do that with me today? I don't know what it is that scares you to throw it all in, whether it's your own spiritual life and walking as a child of God, accepted by Him and exhibiting His character, or whether it's reaching out to others that scares you spitless. Today's a day to put it all on the ice and to trust in Jesus that He will give you everything that you need, that He has your back, that He will take care of you and make amazing things. What does it say? Immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your provision for us. And now today, we ask You to take us as we are. We thank You for the cleansing power of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. We ask You to take us as we are, to wash us, make us clean, make us Yours, and give us the faith to put it all on the ice, to trust You completely, and to give it everything that we have that You have given us. Thank You so much that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We look to You today. In Jesus' name, amen. We ask, by the way, I want to make sure that you know that if you have not known the peace of knowing Jesus as your Savior, of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that we have an elder will be here and an elder over here ready to talk to you and help you come to the place where you know that you are His, that He has a place in heaven for you, that your sins are forgiven. May God be with you today.